call this meeting to order. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2021, and this is the business session of the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors meeting, and it is 6 o'clock p.m. Can we get roll call, please?
Dr. Beckendorf?
Here.
Dr. Kornfeller?
Here.
Dr. Gutenberg?
Here.
Dr. Hines?
Present.
Dr. Karcher?
Present.
Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have no education showcases tonight, so can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Dr. Beckendorf?
Yes.
Dr. Kornfeller?
Yes.
Dr. Gutenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Hines?
Aye.
Dr. Karcher?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to the approval of minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the BOE meeting of Monday, June 21st, 2021?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Dr. Beckendorf?
Yes.
Dr. Kornfeller?
Yes.
Dr. Gutenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Hines?
Aye.
Dr. Karcher?
Aye.
Okay, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the BOE meeting of Monday, June 28, 2021?
So moved. Second.
Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Dr. Beckendorf?
Yes.
Dr. Kornfeller?
Yes.
Dr. Gutenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Hines?
Aye.
Dr. Karcher?
Aye.
Up next is communications, and we have our HR update with Ken Schumann.
Hello.
Hi, Ken.
It's good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
You were busy this summer.
What's that?
You were busy this summer.
I was busy. However, I'm going to tell you something that will kind of contradict that, but it was a busy summer. The first thing is what I wanted to tell you is that we had the smallest, by far, turnover of teachers this year than we've had in my 9 years here. Maybe in the time that Ron's been here, maybe in the time that Douglas is, and before that, we lost only 12 teachers, and we've lost as many as 30 in
wow.
1 year. And we tend to, we're somewhere between 22 and 25 most years. And a lot of people have asked me why, but that turnover rate, I was hoping to stay under 10%, but it's 10.83%.
That's
great. That's great. Yeah, the high school, which, because they have more teachers, they tend to have a lot of teachers leave. They only had 3. Singing Hills only had 2. So it's just unbelievable, the low turnover. I think what's happening, I mean, what I tried to do is think, is there some COVID-related reason for this? And I'm not sure that there is. I can't really make a connection there, other than I know that we did as much as we possibly could for our teachers last year, and I think that brought forth a lot of goodwill from our staff. We made, with your approval, we made some changes to pay for this next year that were more significant than prior years. And I think we've got some really great leadership in our schools. And I think all of that together has really made a difference in terms of people wanting to stay longer. So I think it might be a combination of things, but it's just great news. It's great news. So in that case, I wasn't as busy as I normally was,
yeah.
But we had a lot of classified people to hire this summer, partially because we're getting more sped students, and we're having to hire more special ed paras and so forth. So. Anyway, that's the good news, and I'm just thrilled about it. In terms of other summer hires, and I know you're pretty much aware of this, we did hire, in terms of notable hires, we hired Jason Hackett, and Jason's wife Tanya has also become a teacher at Running Creek. And there, Tanya's here, and she's working, and Jason should be here in the next couple days. Tanya's teaching first grade over at Running Creek, and we're just ready for Jason to come on. I think he's ready to come. They're in the throes of getting all of their things out here, and I think he'll be here on Wednesday. Have you heard anything differently? Okay. And then, of course, Brett Michael, the principal of the middle school, who we hired early on, which was really good to get through the summer and not having to deal with that position. And I think both of them are going to be great additions and part of that leadership team that's I think, helping to keep people here. Okay. We also hired a new psychologist in the district. Those positions sometimes can be difficult to fill. And we hired a new social worker, among some other positions in the district. So that's kind of the highlights of what was going on this summer. We also, I wanted to let you know that last week we had orientation. It was the smallest orientation that we've ever had. And those orientations are for our licensed staff. So the psychologist, the social worker, and all the new teachers. And that went for 5 mornings, Monday through Friday. Marty had a big role in it because there's so much technology that needs to be kind of imparted to our new staff. They have various levels of understanding of some of these programs and things. So he spent a lot of time with them. Everybody attended, everybody was enthusiastic, they were engaged, so we had a really good orientation last week. And then what they do is they're with us in the morning for orientation, and then they go back to their schools in the afternoon and get their classrooms ready, go to meetings, kind of get a feel for the school and so forth. So that took place last week. And then tomorrow is our big day for staff, where we're having our luncheon and our pinning ceremony. And this year it's going to be a little different. We have Dr. John Nicoletti, who you may have heard of before or maybe even met. Dr. Nicoletti will be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. It'll all take place in the cafetorium over at the high school. And staff has been invited. He's going to talk about dealing with difficult people. He's done that before for us, and it was highly well received. And he's kind of very, very well known and recognized in that field. And with COVID and everything that went on last year, and some strange things we're seeing this year on airplanes, people fighting, and in baseball games, the fights that are going on in the stands, and just some of the things that people are feeling out there, I think he's going to help to prepare our staff on how to deal with those kind of situations if they come your way. So that'll be interesting. Following his talk, we'll have our pinning ceremony. We have three 25-year employees and three 20-year employees that we'll be recognizing, along with people who have been here 5, 10, and 15, as well as our new staff that are coming on. And then the luncheon after. Everybody loves the Chick-fil-A, so that'll be here tomorrow. So hopefully we'll...
What time will that be? We all love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. So that's all happening tomorrow. Hopefully you can, some of you can come. But it'll be a fun morning. And I think the addition of Dr. Nicoletti will be a nice addition to
Starts
that.
At 8.
Starts at 8. Yeah, yeah.
So 8 to 10:30, Dr. Nicoletti, a break, pinning at 10:45 mm-hmm. to 11:30, and then lunch at 11:30. You're welcome to come and leave early, come late, stay late, whatever. So if you have a little window and you want to come by, that's fine, whatever works. You're welcome to come.
So our veteran teachers reported today, and so they're all here now. And so we're really getting off the ground, and then next week our students will report and we'll be ready to roll. So that's kind of what happened this summer, among a lot of other things, but I just wanted to give you that update, and especially about that turnover number. That is just really encouraging. So thank you. Any questions or comments?
All right.
Good luck. Thanks
a lot.
Thank you,
Ken. All right. Good seeing you again. Technology update with Marty Silla. Hi, Marty.
Hello.
Let's see, just a couple things to update you guys as well, and I'll just piggyback off some of the things that Ken talked about. So, we had our new teacher orientation last week. We did about, I would say, close to 14 hours of PD for our teachers, and that's been super helpful with our teachers, and they've been very appreciative. As I talked to some of them, who were former teachers before, they were really surprised that we were able to do that for them, because in some of the districts that they've worked with in the past, whether it's here in Colorado or other states, they're just, they maybe have a day, and they're giving their stuff, and they're just like, hey, yeah, you're just going to have to learn kind of on the fly, right? And so I think it's been, since we've started doing this, and when I first started working here, we didn't have that. I think it was maybe my third year here that we started doing that and providing for that. I don't remember when we started a new teacher orientation, but it's been really, really helpful. And what's been nice this year, as Ken has said, there was only a small number of people in the training. I mean, I've had as many as close to 40 people, and it's tough to do training for 40 people that one year where we had a really high turnover. And so to be able to do it with a small group of 15 and really give them attention, I think it was really, it worked out really well this year for our training, for our PDs. And so so we did that last week. I also got time to spend with Jason Hackett last week. He came in, and I was able to sit down with him for 2-3 hours last Tuesday and did some training with him since he was in the area. Obviously, his wife was here. In the summer, I was able to do some training with Brett Michael as well, so they both of them took some extra time to come on their own time to kind of get started early, etc. So that was great to be able to get to know them a little bit. And then Brett also asked for some more training today as well for the returning teachers, so I spent an hour doing some training for them on their website. I think that's one thing that he wants to concentrate on, is that the teachers haven't necessarily been keeping updated information on websites, and so he wants to make a concentrated effort this year to do that, which is great for him, and so I did that today. Let's see, other things that's happened, we got 400 Chromebooks this summer. It's kind of part of the Chromebooks that we buy every summer. It's probably always going to be between 400 to 500 Chromebooks every year, depending on need. And so one concern I had, just like last summer, was, you know, what the impact would be for availability. And luckily, there wasn't much impact this year. We were able to get those Chromebooks fairly quickly. We also did, through HTI, replace some computers, two labs at the high school. And so those kind of trickled in. So we were getting a little nervous because school starts next week. And so the rest of the final pieces of the equipment came in this week, and so we should be able to get that up and running for our new school year. Let's see, we also had a new asset and work order system that we implemented in the summer, which helped out a lot, especially for our one-to-one program at the high school. So if you guys know, at the high school, we give every student a new Chromebook. So every incoming ninth grade student, they get assigned a Chromebook, and for as long as they're at the high school, that's their Chromebook that they keep with them, and then they're supposed to turn it in in the summer. And so last year was our first year for one-to-one and having students take home. We had, I think we're down to maybe 5 Chromebooks that weren't returned, and so which is pretty good. The thing about last year is those Chromebooks were going to be surplused anyway, so I'm not too worried about them. The newer Chromebooks that we've been passing out, and this will be our third year now that we've passed out new Chromebooks to ninth graders, those will have a little bit longer life in the district, so it'll be really important, not next year, but the year after, to make sure that we try to get as many of those back, because we're going to redistribute them where they're needed in the district. But one thing that was really nice this year was to have the new work order system that ties into Infinite Campus. And so our staff was able to, we were keeping records last year manually, so to speak, in spreadsheets. And this year it's all tied into the system. It all gets integrated with Infinite Campus, so with the students that's in Infinite Campus get automatically updated within our new work order system. It's called Incident IQ. And so it was great for the kids to be able to come. They scan their ID, it checks them all out, keeps a record. There's no record keeping that our staff has to do now that's manual. So that was great to be able to do that this year. And we have really good big plans for making sure that our assets are up to date and kept up to date in our inventory. That's one of the things that we'll be concentrating on this year. Let's see. Last thing was also to be able to integrate some tools on the back end for our Infinite Campus system as well. We talked about last year how important Google Classroom was for our teachers to use, especially the year before when we were doing remote learning. And so we're able to now tie the two systems together so that teachers can automatically post their grades in Google Classroom into Infinite Campus. Last year, they all have to do that manually. So that's one thing that hopefully will help this year to help encourage the use of the system, of Google Classroom more, to be able to tell our teachers, hey, you know, if you keep your grades in here, no longer will you have to, during grading period, transfer all those grades over manually. They just come over, there's a button they press, and it all gets populated. So we're excited to be able to provide that for our teachers this year and see how well we can support that throughout the year. But other than that, today's the first day of our returning teachers getting back, so our guys are really busy today. Of course, a lot of it had to do with, oh, I forgot my password, I don't know how to log in. You know, it's just the same for every year. We changed our password requirements this year, and so we forced everybody to change passwords this summer, and so there was a lot more of those issues that's happened this year. But same thing, I was telling Douglas earlier that generally speaking, when the returning teachers come back, we get busy for the first couple days. Then as it gets closer to the beginning of the school day, first day of school, our requests go down. First week of school, Monday, Tuesday, requests are usually down, and then it ramps up again, usually Thursday, Friday, right? The teachers are really busy, and they don't worry about technology until that second or third day. And so we'll have this ramp up, and then at some point after the second or third week, it'll kind of peter out. So kind of same things that we've been seeing every year. Yeah, and that's pretty much it for now. Any questions or?
Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, I'm Dave Moore, Chief Financial Officer.
Hi. Greetings and welcome back.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Fun-filled summer and beekeeping, huh?
Someone's beekeeping, not me.
Okay, I got to tell you real fast. I got stung on my face here. I swelled up so bad.
Oh,
I looked like
God.
I had a duck face. It stood out.
Oh,
I mean, my
God.
Kids.
Pictures?
Did you take pictures? I got pictures.
You got to show.
I got. Oh my gosh. So. Good times.
That's why I don't keep bees.
Finally, our bee pollinators were doing their job this summer because the garden's doing really good.
Awesome.
So, awesome.
They were kind of late this year, though. I'm seeing them now, but it seemed like bees were kind of.
Oh,
late.
Yeah, they weren't out early,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So,
but they're out now.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Fun.
All right, checks over $5,000. In addition to the usual utility payments, insurance payments, there were payments for our numerous technology purchases, SPED-related contract services, renewals for substitute management services, concrete work, a new hot water heater, bus tires, carpeting, stairway tread, snow plows, HVAC units, curriculum, and a software license. Questions? All right. Moving on to financial statements. These statements reflect activity through the end of June, which is 100% of the way through the fiscal year. General fund revenues collected were at a little over 104% through the end of June, while general fund expenses were at 96.72%. However, these statements are prepared in the, like I've said in the past, cash basis of accounting, so therefore probably at least another couple of $100,000 in expenses, including salaries and benefits, will be reflected in the audit statements. And revenues, let's see, and revenues that have not been received by June 30th but should be attributable to last year will be considered accounts receivables, such as property and specific ownership taxes. The only fund that we do have a little bit of a concern for, and it's not really a super concern, but the self-insurance fund, expenses were a little bit higher than what I anticipated. They're still under budget, but they were higher than what I anticipated. And so my thinking is that it was more than likely due to elective surgeries that were postponed from the previous year because, well, hospitals were not accepting elective surgeries there for a while. So that's my assumption there. I have a few other things in here if there are any questions regarding the financials. Okay. All right, so in your packet tonight is an agreement that we're going to be using, that we are going to I'm asking you to approve tonight to utilize the church parking lot next to Rocky Creek Elementary. We had one many, many, many years ago, and our attorney used that agreement to kind of create the basis for what you see tonight in your packet. And so there was a little bit of negotiation with the church, but everything came out good. I think both parties were satisfied.
Good.
Banking services. You also have another item in here that's designated community banks and college trusts to utilize their services. It's part of policy to stipulate which bank you're going to use for banking services. We did this many years ago. However, what we hadn't updated the master treasurer agreement with community banks here for several years, and so some things have changed. And so instead of just saying, or coming into the meeting tonight to say, treasurer, would you please sign where all these little stickies are in here? I thought it would be more appropriate to reaffirm that these are the two entities that we're utilizing for our banking services. And that way it'd be a nice smooth segue. And it all to not only approve that we're reaffirming these two entities, but then to authorize you to sign these sticky, where the places where the sticky notes are here. So that's the reason there. Normally, unless there's any questions, insurance renewal. Usually, the insurance renewal I bring to you before the end of the fiscal year. Unfortunately, we weren't done negotiating and working with our broker and reaching a meeting of the minds until basically June 30th of this past fiscal year. So we had all that. We got everything that we were expecting. And there was some sticking points and some issues, but I do have the cover memo in there for basically approve all of our different insurances: workers' comp, property liability, auto, cybersecurity. Cybersecurity went up quite a bit, and unfortunately it was because of what's happening in the real world out there. It's not anything that's happened in, within our organization, but was happening throughout, not only our country, our state, but the world with this ransomware and all these hacks. And that's why you saw basically a doubling of our cybersecurity. And also there are some things that we're going to be instituting throughout the next year or two that is going to help stabilize our premium going forward. So, let's see. And then finally, there's something that I want to talk to you about briefly that isn't in your packet, but I'm going to probably be bringing it up for the next meeting, and it's a contract to work with a consultant who we are tentatively working with right now in getting and helping us secure a modular for the high school. And we've never done anything like this. Well, we have, obviously, because we're in some modulars. But many decades ago, I don't even know. From what I understand, these modulars were donated to us by Lowry when, how long ago that was, when Lowry was still a functioning base. So apparently these are hand-me-downs from that generation. So we haven't done this, and so we are working with someone who actually is the consultant for Douglas County Schools who works with them all the time. And so we're utilizing his services to help us hold our hand through this process. So the contract is going to have a breakdown. The contract that's a standard template that we've used in years past working with consultants. Like I said, it's not in your packet. It'll be brought up, but I'm just kind of giving you a preface of what to be expecting. The contract there, it's not going to be $490,000, but there's costs associated with getting the modular set up, such as the permitting fees, the electrical. There's not going to be sewer or water to it. But we're going to have tanks underneath it because it's for the nursing, the new nursing program that's going to be showing up. And so they need water. They need a holding tank for the gray water that's going to be in there. So there's a lot of idiosyncrasies that are associated with getting this modular out there. So the contract I'm going to be bringing you, it's going to show the breakdown of these expenses, but they're nothing more than flow through expenses, and the consulting fee is the one that we're, you know, that I'm asking you to approve working with this consultant. So, like I said, it's just to prepare you for what's going to intervene.
Good question. What is it? What's it for? Maybe I missed you say that. Why is there
for the modular?
Yeah.
It's for a new nursing program that's going to be coming out to the high school.
So that's part of HCI then.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's going to be starting in the second semester.
So the consulting fees will be flow through, but the actual building fees, tank fees, those will be
those fees are going to be. The consultant's going to take care of all that.
Oh.
And so the fees, we're going to pay him, but they're going to flow through him to the state.
Got it.
And that's what that's
okay.
That's going to be for.
So you're
going to see a bigger contract.
All in then.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes things
that's
nice.
Exciting.
That is exciting. Now, will that be a certificate? Is that considered a certificate?
CNA.
The gentleman over there shaking his head.
Is.
Yes.
Nice.
It's a CNA program.
Yeah. Okay.
A legitimate CNA program.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. The goal is to start at second semester. Yeah. So everything's lining up right now, but there's a lot of hoops to jump through and a lot to get done.
Well, I'm sure.
A lot of moving parts.
Good deal. Well, good job on that. That's awesome. Okay.
Okay.
Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
Okay.
Perfectly fine.
Are you done?
Yep, I'm done.
Are there any questions? Anybody else have any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Sure.
Okay. Moving on to superintendent update.
Okay. It's good to see everyone.
I know.
You too.
It's been a while, so it's nice we're all.
Belated welcome back from Spain.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was good to see family, but it was weird to be in another country and seeing how they dealt with COVID.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and just traveling internationally.
Wow.
It really wasn't pleasant to travel internationally.
Yeah, I bet.
So, but hadn't seen my wife's family in
that's fantastic.
Years, so it was important. A couple of things to update you on. One, the school resource officer program has been agreed to with the town of Elizabeth for the upcoming school year. So you saw the governmental agreement. You gave your support, your approval of it. So did they. It's been signed by both entities. I think that the new chief is excited to get the program underway, kind of under his direction.
Good.
As I think I've shared with you, they've dedicated a squad car to school resource officer with the logo, one of the logos, one of the many Cardinal logos on it. and I think had some presence at registration this week from their officers at registration. So really looking forward to that. I can't remember everything that Ken mentioned, but our director of safety and emergency plan, Shane Weiser, is now with the county. So we'll be publicly posting that position here in a couple of days. We're just making sure that it's refined to represent what we need and what we want going forward.
Sure.
And then I wanted to add a little bit to what Ken said about the pinning ceremony. We've got a number of people that I just wanted to read their names that have been with us for a number of years. And let's see, I've got, I guess, two copies of the same thing. And I don't have the name here. Maybe you know. But in food service, her last name is Morgan?
Yeah, Tamara Morgan has been here 20 years.
Okay, so Tamara Morgan's been here 20 years. Todd Ackerman, he's at Singing Hills.
Mm-hmm.
He's been here 20 years. Holly Bakke, she's in transportation, been here 25 years. Corey Gelroth has also been here 25 years. He is our new head
mechanic.
I wasn't sure the exact name, but which is a great move for him. He's been a great employee. And then Sarah Sikorsky, she's been here. She's a teacher at Running Creek, been here 20 years. And then Deb Wamsley, also a teacher at Running Creek, been here 25 years.
Wow.
And then what we do is we give pins. In the past, you may have seen that we had a red E for Elizabeth.
Yes.
And Ken decided to change things up. And so we have a new pin. You can take a look at it. It's got the logo on it. And then, depending on the number of years, it just lists.
Oh, it does. That's
me. Of years. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, in the pinning ceremony, Kristen worked closely with Ken to produce this little handbook. I'll pass it around. And it thanks our staff, lists some of our expectations, talks about those that are being recognized. It then has pictures of the new teachers. It wasn't possible because of logistics to get photographs of all of the new staff, so cooks and paraprofessionals and so forth. And so I'll just pass that around. And where did the pin end up? Okay, so what I'd like to do though is take this occasion to present this pin to Ron.
Well, thank you.
Because this is Ron's special history with our district.
Yeah, we need
Ron, how many years have you? You haven't been with us 15 years, have you?
This is going at 18.
18. So why do we get it messed up sometimes? I'll tell it because it's maybe. You want to tell?
Go ahead.
Ron was working here for a number of years.
I'll be interested in your spin.
And you can see.
So you tell it, he can tell
there,
it.
There is zero bitterness behind this.
Oh, no, this was before I was here. But Ron worked for us for a number of years and then went to Jefferson County School District for a couple months.
Yes.
And then, you know, kind of boomerang. Came back. Said, you know what, I really like it in Elizabeth. And I think one of the things you really like is just the environment, the culture, and also the people. And I think he's brought that appreciation for the people to his day-to-day work ever since then. Because he kind of saw that wasn't inevitable, that you have good colleagues that you get along with and have a lot of respect for. So our system doesn't count, it kind of recounts again. And so at the 15-year, I don't think Ron got his 15-year pin, so we wanted to make sure he got the pin. So, but we do count, when we try to count everybody for their full years, even if they left and had the good sense to come back.
Well, we're certainly glad you boomeranged back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We can do a Sharpie and make that five and do an eight just fine.
Yeah.
So. Well, hold your pin and smile. Awesome.
So let's see. The next thing I wanted to hopefully show you is some of the new marketing artwork for the Homegrown Talent Initiative, and then let you know that we've put the graduate profile on the front of all of the schools. It shows up not as a graduate profile on the middle and elementary schools, but as this is an Elizabeth Middle School student working towards being a graduate with these competencies. So we'll wait for it to come on here. We're fine without the lights.
Okay.
It just takes a while to kind of heat up. So this is the entrance to the middle school.
That looks great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
This is Singing Hills. There's kind of something that's hard to notice here is that there's a tree missing. Can you see where the tree was?
Yeah.
So it was It was good to get rid of it anyway because it was covering up half of the name of the school anyway. But it's really nice. You can see it nicely from the road. Here's a close-up of it.
You can definitely see it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I don't have a picture from Running Creek, but it's just to the left or to the right of the, in between the preschool sign and the main entrance. So there's a lot that's been going on with the HDI project. We will give you a comprehensive update on the project at the next board meeting. So we'll have a number of staff here and others to give you that update. So I won't go too much into HDI tonight. Also, as a part of COVID, and we purchased a total of 4 canopies, 2 at the high school, 2 at the middle school for outdoor classes, outdoor meetings. And they were used a lot last year. The teachers and the students really liked them. This is at 8 o'clock in the morning last week. They had been put up the afternoon before. They did not wait to use them. And it was great to see.
He has a Santa hat on?
Yeah.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, they're so... This is the marching band, mm-hmm. and they were practicing all week last night. All week last week. Much of the day. And they sounded really good.
Talking
to Carson, the band director. I was really impressed. I think she was happy too when you come off summer, wondering whether there's going to be a lot of squeaking and off key notes. As you guys have heard me talk about, that we have CO2 monitors in the schools. Every room, we have one at each of the 3 schools, 2 at the high school. We actually have 2 here tonight. This is the kind of data that it gives us. This was last week at the teacher training at the high school library. So you can see the peaks when the room had people in it. Mm-hmm. And you can see the number there was just a little over 400. And then it went up 150 or so, and then it would drop back down. And so this is one of the ways that we're going to measure the quality of air. Different spaces. We move them around so that they, because it's a little cost prohibitive to have one for every room. But any teacher that would want to have it measured, we put it in their room for the day, and it keeps track of this. So we are buying more, and then some of the HVAC units that we're installing in the schools will also have internal CO2. So. If you think of an HVAC unit, though, it's pulling air from a number of rooms, so it would be kind of an aggregate, and so we'll have a combination of aggregate and then more pinpoint room levels.
Do these need to be collected at the end of the day and plugged into a computer, or do they transmit?
Yeah, it's Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very nice.
So
in that example, Douglas, what would be acceptable?
Well, that's acceptable.
Right.
So
I don't know what the numbers.
You know, it depends on your reference point. So building experts say that anything 700 or so over outside air is a perfectly acceptable target for how an effective HVAC system. In the context of COVID. We like that to be lower, and it has been much lower. So last year was anywhere from very close to outside air to 200 was, I think our average was about 108. It's a loose average because we didn't collect all of the data from all of the year, but it was the data that was put into a spreadsheet over about 2.5 months, January through, I think it was... maybe spring break, that time frame. It was really helpful for our custodial and maintenance staff to have that data, though, because they would they were able to see when an HVAC system wasn't working properly because it would shoot up, and then that was an immediate indicator that they needed to address the issue. So, and that's important anyway. And then there were some spaces that had higher than the average, and so it allowed them to work on that. We put in more HEPA air filters. So, there's a number of them in this room. Those have been demonstrated to be effective as a part of a layered approach. So all of our teachers have them for their classrooms. Some of them have multiple. Anybody that doesn't have one this year that wants one, we're purchasing for them. So it'll be that combination of the MERV 13 filters in the HVAC system, increased outdoor air being brought through the HVAC system, the fact that the system is set to be continuously on while the buildings are occupied, not turning them on and off based on temperature. They do a purge both in the morning and then later at the end of the day. The filters, we have another filter set up, a fan and filter with, it's a little bit more homemade that the middle school is really, they've got a number of them for bigger air spaces. And then getting kids out of the building frequently. So you saw how we did that when you took your tours. Last year they were called mask breaks. We will still do it. We'll just call it whatever they end up wanting to call it, but an outside break. Because that was one of the things that the students especially told us they wanted to continue this year. As you saw in the plan, we're not planning to have any capacity restrictions. If public health has the capacity and wants to do contact tracing, then they will do the contact tracing. But we will have healthy kids in school. If they're sick or living with someone that has COVID, then they should stay home. If they have COVID, they should follow the isolation protocol. One of the things that was really kind of an accidental help to our planning was that we had the middle and high school in-person registration last week on Wednesday and Thursday. And as you know, we distributed our plan on Friday. So we got to see a lot of people, parents, students, plenty of staff, and how things went having people in the schools without masks, get lots of feedback from them, and we did, and got a lot of really good feedback. Since distributing the plan, we've gotten great support for it. It's interesting, even with a snow decision, sometimes I don't get any responses. People can, just respond. So we got both in person and then through email messages, and then I think informally, probably, whoever you might have talked to, really good feedback from them. So,
feedback about not requiring masks?
Well, I mean, many people haven't been that specific.
Right.
They just said it's common sense, it's good, they like it, they haven't kind of dug into the details in the comments that I received, but there were people that came to registration with masks, very small number. I think the estimate was maybe at 5 at the middle school and under 10 at the high school, but 5 to 10 out of, we probably saw over 1,000 people over that time. And just today, this will happen. The high school believes that their enrollment is significantly up.
Surprised.
I don't know if it exceeds your forecast, but they were quite surprised. And as we've learned, and I think as you've learned, we really have to, wait and be patient till we get all of the students who've moved out of the system, and sometimes we can overestimate at the beginning of the year because there are students who don't show up and we have to remove them. But I think that independent of that, there's still kind of lots of new students. So that's great. And then as part of our plan, and we're still working on it, but I wanted to mention it, we're seriously considering, and we'll probably move forward with this, instead of having a health tech at the high school, is to hire a part-time, part-time nurse. Because we expect that the kind of health needs for the district, and especially at the high school, will continue to be more elevated over the next couple of years, and that a nurse can attend and participate in IEP meetings, 504s, 504s are for health reasons. Any of the social, emotional, or mental health issues, they have training there. That person could be a support to sometimes attendance issues are related to health. So we really feel that it would also help Lori, who is the only certified nurse, when she was ever not in the district, she then kind of had to delegate responsibility to a health tech whose qualifications are much different than hers. So to have someone that can serve as a backup.
Why would it be part-time instead of full-time?
Well, the health tech position has been part-time
so
far. So I think starting part-time, partly, we haven't talked about money, but it's going to be more expensive.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
sure.
We have talked about that it will be more expensive. It certainly could evolve over time. But we're just thinking of just shifting the qualifications at this point and then seeing how much impact it made. But in Brett's two or three previous schools, high schools of similar sizes, he always had it was a school nurse versus a health tech.
Right.
So, and Cherry Creek, kind of, they're not the best example of this, but they have a nurse in every school. And they're probably the only district in the state that has a nurse in every school, except if you're a one school district and you have one nurse. But even, I mean, they have a challenge hiring nurses. So we think that whether it's COVID-related or whether it's all the other issues, that it could be an important change to the staffing capability.
And you said that part-time nurse is going to be just at the high school or for the whole district?
Just at the high school.
But could serve as backup for the whole district, right, in the event
yes.
that she is not available?
Right. And what exactly that means, I'm not sure. I do know that when Lori took time off last year and wasn't in the district, she had to, and the person that she prepped was the high school health tech.
Yeah.
To kind of
lead.
Be a kind of resource. Because all the health techs are operating under her license. So she delegates to them certain capabilities. All school nurses, whether school nurse or health tech, have very limited range of what they're allowed to do. So they can't give out any kind of medication. It's very strict. So that's all I had for you. Unless you guys had any questions.
No.
Can I jump in and say something really
quick? Yes, you may.
Usually, you know me, and this, you all understand this. For my generation, I'm usually just the facts. Joe Friday, just the facts, right? So, but there's something I got kind of a little bit excited about that when Douglas mentioned that Corey got promoted to be the head mechanic for transportation because of retirement of the previous head mechanic, so we needed a mechanic. So one of the things when I talked to our transportation director about what to look for is with this, and it was, you know, maybe we can find somebody in the community that would be perfect for this job, because we don't have the highest pay scale for a lot of jobs in our district, including the mechanic. And so I knew the interest in the labor or the pool for this position was going to be limited. And I told him, I says, ideally we would find somebody who still lives in the community that grew up in the area really likes the area and might take a little bit less in money. And less in salary. So what we found was a EHS high school graduate did a stint for 4 years in the Marine Corps, and then he was, you know, he was a mechanic in, for the Marines, and he wanted to stay in that. And he's taking advantage of the GI Bill, and he's getting ASC, he's going to ASC classes. And he applied for the job, and he got the job, and so we've got an EHS high school graduate, and he lives in Kiowa, but you know, still the community at large, Elbert County, yeah. And so I just really excited to make this work here for this young man. So we're excited.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Okay, next up we have public comment. I read this before public comment, I'm pretty sure. During the Board of Education session, time will be provided on the agenda during public participation for members of the community to speak to the board on items of interest or concern that do not appear elsewhere on the agenda. It is the Board of Education's practice not to hear in public session complaints against any district personnel. In addition, it is a violation of federal law to discuss in public or elsewhere individual student issues. It's the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, or FERPA. In an effort to avoid undue repetition and keep within the time frame of the agenda, the board asks that speakers who have come to express similar opinions on a particular topic designate a spokesperson for the group. We don't have that tonight. Questions or comments requiring feedback will be referred to the superintendent for consideration and later response. Each person addressing the board will have 3 minutes to present his or her views. We will ask you to wrap up as you get near the end of the allotted 3 minutes. The boundaries are designed to help keep the meeting focused. And we have Dan, can you help me? What was it? Hudick. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
Where do you want me?
Just right up at the podium. Is that right? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So I brought these for you. And if you'd like to read them, that's great.
Okay.
If you want to put them in the library, hand them out, whatever. So I want to tell you guys thanks. I run a 900-person company out of 3 different states, and COVID was pretty tough on all of us. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know if we're all going to die. We didn't know how to run our companies. I had general counsel in-house, I had HR in-house, I had a lot of resources at my fingertips, and you guys made some really courageous calls. My grandson did go to school at the elementary, and now he's moving on to the middle school. Both of my kids graduated from Elizabeth, and I've been a guy who's owned a business that runs all of our equipment maintenance out of Elbert County for the last 50 years. So thank you for what you did. It was very courageous. I know there must have been some really gut-wrenching thought went into that. So I just wanted to say hats off to you guys. I was going to come and ask if we're going to mask up, if we're going to require vaccinations. I got from my daughter-in-law the thing that you put out and said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to abide by federal laws on the school buses. So it sounds like we're going to do what we absolutely can to keep everything open, and I think that's a great thing for these kids. That book, I'm a reader, and I'm a reader of American history, of all history, and I'm a serious reader, and I'm a serious student of it, so I'm very concerned about the history that we're teaching in school now. I think this is the most amazing country on the planet Earth. I think it was given to us by God, and those founders were amazing people. Were they flawed? Just one of us in this room, the only one that wasn't, is hanging on a cross. But I'm concerned about what you guys control the curriculum. So I'm curious as what you think of the critical race theory and the 1619 Project, and if we're committed to keeping that stuff out of our schools? There's a question for you. Okay. So, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. So, you've told me what I need to know. I'm curious, last little thing I'd like to know about here. It's occurred to me, I did the watchdog thing with my grandson. Unfortunately, couldn't do it last year, but I did it the year before. It was fantastic. I don't know if you guys had the chance to do any of that. But, I mean, my grandson, when we were walking out that evening, said that was the best day of my life. It was awesome. And so I was looking forward to going back last year, but couldn't. But what occurred to me, it was so good for me to be in that classroom to watch the chaos that those teachers have to deal with, and to be able to sit there, and as these kids are trying to work out math problems, be able to just walk around the room and go, is that really right? And kind of coach them a little bit, you know, even though I don't understand the way they do math, I know that answer's wrong. But it occurred to me that it would be really cool if what you could do is watch your kids. And I'm wondering if anybody has ever thought of the idea of putting cameras in these classrooms so that parents could log on and see what their kids are doing. Has that ever crossed anybody's mind? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. If you can stay for the meeting, we can talk to you afterwards. We have to keep going with our meeting.
Okay. Well, that's my big thing. I'll let you guys go. I appreciate everything you guys do. It's a tough job.
Thank you.
Public boards and private boards. Never had much fun on any of them.
Thank you. We appreciate your comment. Okay. Moving on to the consent agenda. Can I get a motion to approve items 9.1?
Through 9.7.
Through 9.7?
Real quick before we do that. I just wanted to note that the policies that are being updated just removed the C1 from the policy.
I don't know if there's anything we can do, but the Secretary of State's office still has us as C1. So when somebody registers on Tracer, I think it automatically puts C1.
It does.
I noticed that.
Thank you. I'll look at that.
That probably needs to be updated if we can.
Maybe at the very least put something in the petition packets, just explaining that so that people don't get confused.
Yeah.
Because all our stuff says Elizabeth School District.
I know. Yeah, and all the candidates are going to say C1 on the Tracer.
Got it.
So, and I'm not sure how to, I don't know how to update that. But anyway, so I asked for a motion.
So moved.
You did.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Yeah.
She called it.
It was. No, I'm sorry.
No, we didn't.
It was. I dropped my agenda. It was.
Oh, you went
9.1 through 9.11.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out, Carrie. Roll call, please.
Director Bagendorf?
Yes.
Director Frumfeld?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Next up, we have action items. Can we get a motion to approve item 10.1, consolidated application for ESEA program funds?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Dr. Reckendorf?
Yes.
Dr. Furfeller?
Yes.
Dr. Gutenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Hines?
Aye.
Dr. Karcher?
Aye.
Up next is item 10.2, IGA for coordinated election. Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Bagendorf?
Yes.
Director Frumfeller?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Dr. Hines?
Aye.
Dr. Carter?
Aye.
Next up, can I get a motion for item 10.3, approval of the EHS Music Department field trip?
So moved. Second.
And we have the music department here to talk to you about.
I was just going to say, great timing in the gallery.
Discussion?
Wow!
Nice!
Look at that!
Look at us! Okay.
Ms. Munson is always timely.
Are you guys ready, or do you need a couple minutes?
We have a handout for you all, and we figured we'd just take any questions you all have and kind of go over that handout with you.
Yeah, pretty good.
Thank you.
I need to talk to our tech guy.
Thank you.
What?
Just a second.
Can I get a handout? Yes, please.
You need for ink?
Yeah. Toner.
Toner.
Okay.
Do you guys have, do you need the projector, or are we just going to talk?
No,
a
I don't think so.
Oh, no, we were just going to talk over the content in the handout, if that's okay.
That's great.
Perfect.
If you guys want to sit down at the table.
Sure. Okay. Hot seat.
I'm Miss Munson, Kai Munson. I'm the vocal music director at the high school.
And I'm Miss Carson Barnhart. I'm the instrumental director over at EHS.
Welcome. We're glad to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
They're the
Thank
ones
you
who you see
us.
From behind at graduation.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started. I'll be candid with you all and say that this is something that is very new to me. I've never presented something to a school board before, so please feel free to ask us any questions that come to mind. We'll do our very best to answer those as
sure.
specifically as we can. So, as Ms. Munson and I have been discussing ways to make our program more exciting and appealing to students, to build the performing arts program over at Elizabeth High School, one of the ways we thought would be really effective to boost those numbers and boost excitement and retention was to take a trip. It's something a lot of schools do, and kids buy into it and just really have a wonderful time. This particular festival is called the Winter Park Ski and Music Festival, and it is located in Winter Park, Colorado, if you didn't gather. And this trip is really, really awesome in our opinion because it kind of mixes work and play. So as far as the academic side for students, this is a festival. So over time, we would prepare music with three different groups, being two of my ensembles, the concert band and the concert orchestra, and then one of Kaya's ensembles, the chamber choir, her top choir.
Top group, yeah.
Those three ensembles would travel to Winter Park and perform for a rating by three nationally renowned clinicians. So in this performance setting, they perform and then they get feedback for about an hour from professionals in our field and learn about how they can play their instrument better, how listening within the ensemble can make them better musicians, and just how music can affect an audience overall and all of those types of different things. So that's kind of our reasoning for feeling that this trip would be something that's really beneficial, not only because it would be really, really fun for students, but because they also get that feedback from people who listen to ensembles not just in Colorado, and many not even just in the United States, but some all over the world. So getting that perspective, we think would be really, really effective in teaching kids how to become better musicians.
And they also get the chance to listen to ensembles, different ensembles other than their own within EHS. We only get a couple opportunities a year to listen to groups from other high schools instead of just our own ensembles within the building. So that's a really good opportunity for them too, just to see what other ensembles are like outside of our school.
Absolutely. And so to that effect, some of the essential questions we would have for students as they went through this clinic process after their performance would be, what criteria do we use to evaluate a performance? And the arts oftentimes, evaluating something can seem rather subjective, and giving them the tools and the input from these clinicians will help them evaluate their own performance as individuals and their performance as an ensemble so they can find ways to better themselves and their musicianship. And then the second critical question we had was, what makes a significant and meaningful performance? So what takes just sitting listening to a band to a next level? What is it that gives that audience member goosebumps in the back of the stage? What can we do on the stage to make that happen for the person sitting in the back? And then, yeah, how does the style of music affect the behavior of the audience, kind of going hand in hand? How does what we do up here affect the people out there that we're graciously performing for? And then finally, how do people of different backgrounds connect and communicate? One thing Kaya and I thought was really special about this trip is there are multiple groups there while we are. And they're not necessarily even from Colorado. Groups from all over the country
travel to this festival. So not only do they get that performance in that clinic and get to watch performances, but outside of that, they also get to go and have an award ceremony and a street dance with these other groups. So they get to collaborate with other musicians from a variety of walks of life that are in their age group and see how band, orchestra, choir are different throughout the country. So we thought that was a really special component of it as well.
And they also get to, like Kirsten said, some work and a lot of play. They get to take a ski lesson, snowboarding lesson. They can tube, so they pick their activity. And then they get to enjoy themselves while they're up there for the three and a half days that we're at Warner Park.
Yeah, and to that effect, regarding the recreational part of this trip. So in the Winter Park Festival's package, per student, that cost, we can talk about that a little bit later, the cost breakdown. But in that package is included a free lesson. So if students have never skied, snowboard, tubed before, they have that free lesson to get them started so they're not hurting themselves or tumbling all over the place. Because, you know, that could be, it could be a pretty treacherous activity for people if they're not taught correctly. So they get that free lesson if they have no experience. They get all of the gear. So all they need is the stuff to wear on the outside. They get the skis or snowboard, the poles, the boots, everything they would need besides their snowsuit. And yeah, the lift ticket, everything is essentially included in that, lodging and even insurance. So to that effect, we have that covered as well. For student safety, which was a big thing for me when looking at something like skiing, because as you all know, being in Colorado, that can be a pretty dangerous activity if yes. kids aren't supervised and taken care of correctly, so that insurance is a component as well.
Yeah, and so we're looking at staying at a lodge, and it houses, what, 42 in each lodge, or depending on what cabin we decide to go with. But the band boosters will be helping out with preparing meals for the students. And we're still working through those logistics and a payment plan with everything involved.
Yes, so the primary, all of the logistics and stuff would be handled by the EHS band boosters, which are their own 501c3. I want to say company, but that's not the right word to use. Group?
Organization.
Organization. Yeah. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. So they're very familiar. We have a treasurer and president and vice president, and we do meetings once a month, similar to the way you all do them. So that's who would be in charge of collecting payment and communicating back and forth to the Winter Park Festival okay. representative. And we have sent out a survey. We sent one out at the beginning of the summer to all band, orchestra, choir parents just to kind of gauge interest because this is something that would be optional because of the cost factor. Mm-hmm. However, if we don't have enough student interest because it is a performance, we won't be successful if enough kids don't want to participate. So the results of the survey we do have up here, there's not a single student that said they wouldn't come that took the survey. In the vast, as you all can imagine, they're maybe just a little excited at the prospect of this being a possibility. And as far as parents, many are very interested in chaperoning, no one said, I don't want my kid to come. They just said, I don't want to come.
Right.
So,
Most are interested, yeah.
The feedback we've gotten is high interest, for sure, on the parent and student end. So we feel like this would be a really good move for our programs.
Mm-hmm. And the only day they have the option of skiing or snowboarding is on Thursday, correct? Or did they have...
It's on Saturday as well.
Yes. So sorry, that's kind of unclear the way I've worded that. Students have recreation time. That would be at the resort. So recreation time is what I refer to as skiing and snowboarding. So they would get 2 full days, the day we arrive, and then Saturday of skiing and snowboarding. And then Friday, they would perform and maybe have a half day. We still don't know the exact schedule there because we have to book with them before they give us all of that information, of course. So they would get at minimum 2 full days of skiing and snowboarding.
It would just be nice if they were able to get up out on the slopes, you know, because of how many people could possibly be there. I mean, Thursday's prime because not many right. people go up on a Thursday. So absolutely. I hope they get time to get out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, where, what is the opportunity if you wanted, you said, parents, a bunch of parents want to go.
Here comes Gary Shapes.
I think that'd be cool to watch and observe it. And,
absolutely.
And, so is there an opportunity for people to do that? No?
Yes. Yes and no, if I'm understanding your question correctly. So for sure. So when I was speaking to the representative for the Winter Park Festival, there are basically two options for chaperones. One is, I want to come and I want to ski and snowboard and do everything that the kids get to do. In that package, they have to pay for the full price of the lodging and everything. However, for people who maybe just want to come see the performance, or we have a lot of parents who plan to just come help with food, since food will be prepared by the boosters to save money. In the cabins that are allotted, they have double kitchens in them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. The parents will get that opportunity, almost like a camp. But anyway, they have an option where you can just go and stay that is a lot cheaper. It's like as low as $30 a night.
Wow.
For staying in the cabin with us. So there are some options. I would have to see if there's some type of option where you can just come, watch the performance, and leave. I can't imagine that being a real problem, but that's something I would have to look into for
you. How many schools, you said, coming from across the country, right? Mm-hmm. How many, do you have any idea?
Are they anticipating how many people?
So I don't know how many people will stay at the resort at one time. But I do know that when I was looking into the lodging options, they have several lodging options. And we chose the one that we felt would fit our group best for how we wanted to do food, which are these cabins that sleep about 42 people. However, they also do have more hotel-style lodging options as well that are a little bit more expensive. So I don't have a straight-up answer for exactly how many people will be there at one time. But I would say probably like minimum of three groups from three different schools at a time. They fill up quickly. It's a pretty popular festival.
Okay, sure. Cool.
You said nobody said no. Mm-hmm. How many people did the survey go out to? Just to give a sense of
the over, yeah, I was gonna ask how many about kids. 80 kids we sent it out to. We are having an informational meeting with the boosters in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully
pending approval.
Yeah. Right. So we're hoping that we get some more responses then. It's hard to know if kids check their emails over the summer and you know actually read what we've sent out.
You guys prepared for an increase in enrollment in your classes that would be the ones that would be eligible?
We hope so.
That's the goal, right?
We hope so. That's the goal, is the more the merrier. We're not, as I'm speaking to the representative, we're not set on one number or another until it gets much closer to the trip. So
good.
This isn't until the beginning of April. We don't have to have final numbers to these people until the beginning of November. And then we start collecting payment November, December, January.
Okay.
So there's time in that process to add kids. And that's another reason we wanted to have a meeting after school began, because with incoming freshmen, especially students from Legacy Academy, they don't always get that information. I'm kind of just sending emails to people I haven't met yet, hoping they get there. So we'll be pushing this once school begins, and it'll be something that is in our syllabus so people can plan ahead and fundraise. And that's another thing we'll discuss at that meeting, is the fundraising will be largely through the Band Booster organization, which has several large fundraisers in place.
Yeah.
If you need peaches, we're selling peaches. So yes, and just circling back to the question about the survey, we sent it out to about 80 people, and I see here that we got 32 responses via email. So
it's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Not as many as we'd like, but I feel like it's a pretty decent gauge of interest.
Yeah. You should do text messaging. Then you'll get the response.
Then somebody
funny how that works.
Oh, yes, that's Snapchat.
Snap facing.
Yep.
I guess just cost.
And if you guys didn't put two and two together, the picture I showed them pictures of the marching band practicing out under the cannon.
Oh, yes. We've been going for it. Yes.
So it was Carson and the marching band. Yes. In
yes. I snuck away. They're still rehearsing with one of my staff members right now. So we go till late today. So.
I just have a single comment, and I know it might be hard to believe, but as a former chamber singer and member of a marching band, one of my biggest and fondest memories is going to one of these festivals. So if we That's want cool. to go around the tables, I don't know how we want to comment or ask questions.
Anybody has any questions or comments?
I think it's a great opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
As a former performer in Europe, traveled Europe.
Oh, well, there you go. What up, me again, Carrie?
You.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get what about you? Did you do intergalactic?
No. I think it's a great idea. I think
it's fantastic.
That these kinds of programs are just absolutely
yeah,
they are
really good.
Perfect for the kids.
How are you going to do the fundraising for it? Was it just through the Peaches?
So that is something that we are still working on figuring out. Because, so the Peaches has in the past been largely a marching band fundraiser. And because it is primarily in the summer, by the time we get all of this information to the incoming students who start next week, the Peach fundraiser is pretty much over. Mm-hmm. However, we do have a few more options. We also sell holiday greenery. We purchase trees and garlands and wreaths and really awesome decor from Nick's Farms.
Nick's
something like that. I'd have to see the logo, but it's Nick's. So we also have that opportunity, which students have made a good amount of money on that in the past. We also sell Tagawa Gardens gift cards, the nursery, throughout the season, and we get a percentage from that. I know I'm forgetting something.
Because that's around Mother's Day, right?
Yeah. You have your trivia night.
Trivia night, yeah. The choir hosts that next month, actually. And then we also have our jazz dessert fundraiser.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to use funds from that to help pay for this trip as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is a discussion that has yet to be had. We've kind of touched on the surface of this as a booster board, the band booster board. But we do have a bit of a nest egg in our savings. So we are also looking at some support from the band boosters as well. Maybe if you fundraise this amount, we'll match this amount type of situation, or we'll kick in this dollar amount to get your fees down a certain percentage or something like that. And we're also hoping financially that if we get this information out now and they don't have to pay until January, that will give families enough time to budget and think about how that is financially possible for them. And it's in two installments as well. Two payment installments, so in our opinion, it's pretty doable with that amount of planning time.
Yeah.
And then we can go a little bit further into the projected cost breakdown as well. We're looking total at just under $500 per student, which in my experience for 2-3 days of skiing, lodging, food, all of the equipment is quite the steal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, so we have a motion and a second on the table. No more discussion?
I only heard the first.
Oh, who seconded?
Seconded.
John did.
And who would? Carter was
first? I'll do the motion. Yeah. So moved.
Okay, roll call please.
Director Beckendorf?
Yes.
Director Firmfeller?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Heinz?
Aye.
Dr. Carter.
Hi.
Okay. There you go.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you
guys so much for your time.
And
thank you guys.
Thank you. Yes.
You want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
Then we have bring back the chicken.
Yes. Oh, we will. Don't
Plenty.
Worry.
Plenty.
Maybe even some music.
Okay.
Yeah.
There
yeah. They'll usually give us a recording.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you
all.
Thanks for coming in.
Carol, I have a recommended motion for the next item.
Okay.
The one for banking services.
Okay.
So, just because it's authorizing people to sign.
Okay.
I saw that, Carol. Unless you have it printed off.
I don't.
And then your phone number.
I have it here. I just got it.
Item 10.4.
I got it right here if you want it, Paul.
$40.
for the church parking lot.
You need money now.
I think that's this okay. one. It's not.
Yep. So now we're moving on to item 10.4.
Or if you have your checkbook, you can write it now and I can get it. Whatever is most convenient for you. I hate to have the church. I'll drop it off.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Sounds good. Not a problem. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Where would you like me to drop it off?
Just the front office at the high school is perfect.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much
Thank
for supporting
you.
Us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you, guys. Okay, moving on to item 10.4.
Sorry.
No, it's great. Thanks for supporting.
Harvest Bible Church parking agreement.
Yes, I move to approve the agreement between the Elizabeth School District and Harvest Bible Church and authorize the BOE president to sign the agreement.
So move.
Second.
Actually, I moved it. Second. Either one, pick one. Is there any discussion? Roll call, please.
Well, yes, not discussion, but just comment. I just want to thank Ron for his work on this.
Yeah.
Like so many other things, went above and beyond and got to a place, and it was nice. I mean, Ron doesn't get excited about a lot of things, but I got a message from him going, it's signed. Because, he'll work for 2 years on a thing with CDPHE on water up at Singing Hills, and, he's, worn out when it's done. So this one was, they felt like a reasonable amount of effort and a good win.
Well, we didn't have a whole lot of options, and this was the most economical.
And considering where it came from and got to, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Right. Sure, right.
We do appreciate it.
Yes, I think so.
Anything else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Roll call, please.
Director Breckenridge?
Yes.
Director Frontbauer?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to item 10.5. Can I get a motion for the 2021-22 Property and Liability Insurance Workers' Compensation Insurance?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Breckenridge?
Yes.
Director Frontbauer?
Yes.
Director Hoop? Excuse me. Aye. Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Carter?
Aye.
Moving on to item 10.5, Banking Services Agreement.
Yes.
10.6, I'm sorry.
I move to approve the continuing designation of Community Banks and Colo Trust as the official bank/depository for the Elizabeth School District and authorize the board treasurer to sign the most recent Master Treasury Management Services Agreement with Community Banks.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Director Breckenridge?
Yes.
Director Frontbauer?
Yes.
Director Gutenberg?
Aye.
Director Hines?
Aye.
Director Carter?
Aye.
There are no discussion items. BOE planning. Our next board meeting is August 23rd, 2021.
I will be in Durango.
Okay.
In the meeting, so I need to, I'll be available. I can zoom in.
Okay. Zoom. Okay, that's fine.
Everybody else can be there?
Everybody else can. Okay.
I should be pending any challenges.
Okay. Okay. We'll try to be there. Coming up, item 12.2, comprehensive HTI implementation update at next board meeting. So we're going to have several people updating.
That'll be the principals of all the schools. 5-10 minutes. What they're doing. Brad will be longer. Kristen will be there. We don't have the full layout of who's going to be performing. But Leanne Cook, good possibility with internships. Casey Walters, some of the college concurrent. We can also see too about whether she can give us an update on the alternative program at the high school, right? I don't know if you remember, she gave us the update last school year about that program.
Yeah, I'd like to know
because
HTI.
They're very excited about that, and then there's some connections between HTI and that. Dave Eddy, and who
we'll see what other cast of characters will be. So that'll really take advantage of the design of that work session board meeting, where we don't have all of the updates and the 10, which we don't normally need, but is where you are able to spend a longer period of time on kind of one or two subjects.
And so, sure.
To start off the year, so you know the direction that you've been hearing bits and pieces over the last couple of years, where we're going, and this is the last year of the grant, and so kind of what the plan is for the last year.
Okay. Sounds good. Is there anything else with that? Okay.
I regret to inform the board and Douglas I'll be resigning from the board. I'm going to be moving out of the district and I'll no longer be eligible to be a director of the board.
And we are going to miss you.
Sad news.
I'll miss all you guys.
Yeah, we'll really miss you.
Trust me, I will. But I'll come back and see you.
You gotta come back and visit. You gotta come back and visit.
Heckle from the peanut gallery. Heckle.
Like, seriously enjoyed getting to know you and working with you.
Oh, absolutely.
This has been the greatest experience of my life. I mean, even spending 20 years in the military, I've never had anything like this. I really
enjoyed this. Oh, that's great.
I enjoyed you all. Even some of the long talks that we have during meetings. Oh. But it's been an experience, and I don't think I would have changed it for anything.
I'm certainly happy to have gotten to know you. Yeah. Definitely or better for
you
it.
You too, Carol, Carrie, Paul, and you.
Glad to talk to you.
And especially Douglas.
I've
enjoyed it. So it's been very meaningful.
You're going to be missed, John.
Yep.
You better come back and see us when you can.
I will. I know I'll be back in October.
Okay. Good. Well,
good.
We expect to see you then. Okay, well, with that notice, when a vacancy occurs, the board is required to fill the vacancy. I know you don't have to hear this, but stay here anyway. Required to fill the vacancy within 60 days. And if the board doesn't, then the president appoints somebody. If the vacancy occurs, according to Colorado statutes, if the vacancy occurs more than 90 days before the election, it goes to the November election, but this is less than 90 days before the election, so we would appoint somebody, and then that person would run in 2 years if they want to.
They're
John's
just going to fill the 2 year.
They would fill John's 2 years and then run again in November, and they can then run for 2 terms.
Oh, 2 terms mm-hmm. beyond that. Okay.
Yeah.
So they technically could serve for 10 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
Nine years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of
and
like
that's
you,
what,
Carol, right?
Huh?
Because you're 8
yeah.
plus.
Yeah. I was. Yeah.
You're
I was appointed
okay.
in May, and I had to run again that November.
I see. Okay.
So.
But there's no. Just to be clear, there's no they obligation for who's ever
no.
appointed
sure.
to
no.
run.
Right. Sure.
They can
no. Absolutely not.
Fill out
I'm
the
just
term
saying.
And not run.
They can run again instead of having to instead of getting appointed.
Makes sense.
And then having to run this November.
I see. Okay.
And so what we need to do is next meeting. We need to declare, I'm trying to think of the word, have a resolution declaring a vacancy for the board, and then so the 60 days starts, I think, at that point, and we need to advertise it and take the time to get notice out to candidates, and then there'll be an application process, and
okay.
then we need to have an interview process, and so it's probably going to take the full 60
days,
because we need time out there for people to get notice.
Sure.
So I would think that what we would do is have a special meeting if we have candidates who are applying to interview them, because you want to give them time and not, you know, not rush through it. So you guys speak up. I'm not making the rules. I'm just, the state makes some of the rules and the rest is up to us as far as interviewing and timing and special meetings or no special meetings, stuff like that. So that's just my thoughts.
So our next meeting
is where we'll have the resolution.
The resolution, and then after
and that's,
that, then
that's state law.
You guys will get it out.
Well, my suggestion would be also in that meeting that you discuss what your process would look like in a little bit more detail, and including possibly even seeing if you want to agree on any timelines, like by when you would want to have the letter of interest received, an interview, possibly a window when you would want to make a decision, to lay that out. And then any specific instructions that you would have for publicizing it.
Okay.
You know, we can certainly present you with kind of some of the standard things that we've done, but that would help in terms of direction for how you want to get the word out. It's very easy for us to get it out to parents. It's easy to get it for us to get it out to other government agencies. It's a little bit more difficult to be as direct with the general population, because it's very expensive to send something to every household in the district. When I say we're talking thousands of dollars, so putting ads in the newspaper or public notice in the newspaper, that sort of thing, is much more economical. But your thoughts on that would be helpful, Scott.
Okay.
So we can have a bigger discussion about that at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend, is you come prepared.
I like that.
And look at your calendars.
Because then what we can do after that meeting is begin communicating those things to the public more formally and a certain detail of what your plan is.
So our timeline and everything at that time.
I think we could appoint John Gutenberg as the person that has to put all that stuff together.
Want to send him off with lots of
that's his parting gift to
positive
us.
Feelings.
Okay. So my agenda. I think we're done. Okay, so that's everybody's good with that?
Yes.
We're still really bummed you're leaving us, John. We're really bummed you're leaving us.
Due to the circumstances.
Sure. Absolutely.
I just had a question about hog hunting.
Absolutely.
What about it? Can I come down and hog hunt?
Sure. Would you? I have a friend who owns 90 acres who hunts hogs.
Okay. But they want to get rid of them.
They do.
They damage the property.
Okay. So we have no executive session, and I will adjourn this meeting at 7:32 p.m.